It's the Reabu podcast with Simon Littlewood and Mark Lowdy. Simon, it's not just small and medium enterprises supplying large customers that have to wait for payment to come in. Surprisingly, in some parts of the world, even utilities companies are waiting in vain for their cash. In India, the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy has now finally taken the cudgel to the distributors of power. It seems that those distributors owe more money to the actual generation companies than ever before. 8 to 11 months worth of dues in certain states, such as Telangana and Andhra Pradesh, while some producers in the state of Tamil Nadu are owed more than 15 months of payments. You can read the full story on the Reabu website. But I suppose it's very surprising for utilities companies, which by definition are used to collecting regular payments every month, otherwise they'll just turn the power off. Or if it's your phone company, you know, phone companies by definition have very stable cash flows because, well, if you don't pay your phone bill, that's it, they'll turn you off. Unlike a supplier of a product where once the product is, you know, out the door, then it can't be retrieved. So first of all, it's very surprising, don't you find, that these DISCOMs, these distribution companies, are keeping the generation companies waiting for so long. And there's also now the consideration of a web portal to publicly name and shame the distribution companies that keep the energy companies waiting.
I think the first question is, are they not paying because they're living a life of riotous gaiety at the expense of the supplier? Or are they not paying because they are struggling to collect the money that they're owed by their customers? I strongly suspect it's largely the latter.
Riotous gaiety.
If you think about the gaiety in the old sense. Right. If you think about the situation in India, you have an awful lot of consumers who are unbanked. So the problem of collecting that money is you've got to send around a collector to collect cash. So in general, collecting receivables in India, not just in the utilities industry, but in many, many industries and in many, many B2B environments, involves hundreds of collectors going around on motorbikes actually collecting cash from people. I mean, that's the first thing. Secondly, you've got widespread electricity theft. I mean, I don't know how bad that is, but it's fairly common, particularly in the cities.
To tap into the cable that runs past your house.
But you have to ask yourself, well, yes, allegedly. you'd have to ask yourself, because the biggest consumers of electricity everywhere are industrial users. So you have to ask yourself about the relationship between the DISCOM and the industrial user. Because it's like, you know, the Pareto. It's likely that 80% of your electricity is consumed by 20% of your customers. Those customers are going to be industrial customers, particularly processes that use huge amounts of electricity, you know? One wonders about those relationships. Those companies themselves may struggle to collect their receivables, or they may have relationships with the DISCOM that make it a matter of agreement that things are paid late. Yeah, so what I'm saying here is this is not a simple situation such as one sees in other industries. There are big structural and environmental challenges, because if you think about this, it's a government commitment in India to provide people with electricity, which provides them with, you know, heating in winter, with hot water, with things like that. So it's a big political issue to disconnect people. So they don't want to disconnect people because there's lots of poverty in India. Mm. On the other hand, they can't necessarily identify who's using their electricity, and they can't collect the money easily because lots of people don't have bank accounts. So I wouldn't want to be an electricity distributor in India. And I think, frankly, charging them 1.25% a month on the sum that's owing
as a penalty, yes.
I would want to know, I mean, you know, the way that we operate at Reabu, you know, my first question would be, well, let's find out the reasons why they're not getting paid by their customers. Yeah, I think it'd be important to know that. I always assume ignorance rather than malice. It's very unlikely, I think, that DISCOMs are deliberately sitting on money for 9 or 10 months. It's much more likely that for structural reasons they simply haven't got the money. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that then draws into question the whole viability of the renewable energy sector in India, doesn't it?
DISCOMs are not just being supplied by renewable energy suppliers. The majority of energy in India, as it is in most parts of the world, is supplied by burning hydrocarbons of one kind or another. Yeah.
Yes, coal or gas.
Yeah. So that's the biggest component of the supply. So it's interesting that they've picked on renewable energy suppliers. I mean, possibly because renewable energy suppliers, being largely independent, are themselves more vulnerable because they're new and they're undercapitalized. You know, the traditional power plants, which are probably state-owned in most cases, I would think, are less vulnerable, I would guess, to working capital pressure. Yeah?
Yes. So a naming and shaming portal is probably not going to do it. And I suppose that's the whole point, too, when you write your invoices to your customers. Naming and shaming people may not necessarily yield the sorts of results that you're looking for, particularly if you don't have a firm grip on what your customer is going through. And sometimes you might be just better off having a sit-down conversation with them.
I love this phrase, the power producers are surviving on a mix of available working capital and debt, besides funding support from their parents, much like you and I.
Leave us your comments, read the story, and we'd love to continue the conversation. Give us your insights on the power industry if you'd like to share some of your special expertise and knowledge.